Hey, would you like to live in my office and repeat that hourly?
Those of us who are good at what we do and work at it know we're good at what we do. So we keep working at it.
On a sigh, she held the book back out to him.
Thanks for letting me see.
You can keep it.
I can? She punched his arm. Really?
Yes. Gingerly, he rubbed his arm. You're very strong.
Hot damn! Sign it, sign it, sign it!
I will if you don't punch me again.
Since I've complimented your art, sincerely, she said as he chose a red marker, there's another thing I wanted to talk to you about. The youth center's on schedule, and we're looking to have it fully opened by September. Part of what we hope to offer is various demonstrations and hands-on lessons. Crafting, sports, music, Monroe's our go-to there, dance, art. I'm hoping to draft you to give some time when you can to demonstrate, teach art and illustration.
I can do that.
Well, that was easy.
My partners and I did that sort of thing now and then for local schools and fairs, career days. It's fun. And we found one of our summer interns that way last year.
Then you're definitely hired. We plan to pay with great appreciation and hearty handshakes.
That meets my usual fee in this area.
Thanks, Raylan. She took the book back, actually hugged it. And thanks for this. Last thing, and I'll get out of your way. I'm going to start the Rizzo dinner tradition again. The house needs people in it. How about you and the kids test my solo culinary skills on Friday?
That sounds... forgot. My mom's got them Friday. They negotiated a movie marathon sleepover. I am not invited.
Oh, well. Just you, then? Unless you want to bask in the quiet and alone, which Tisha tells me is better than champagne and caviar.
I don't get the caviar thing, he mused. I'm Tom Hanks in Big on the caviar. Anyway, sure. A free meal I don't have to cook?
Great. You'll be my first victim. That is, my first guest. I'll hold the caviar. 7 work?
Yeah, that'll work.
See you then. I'm going to go out for Sadie, and we'll just go around to the car. Do you want Jasper in or out?
He has to stay out until he finishes sulking. He sulks after Sadie goes home.
Be sure to bring him Friday.
He stayed where he was while she let herself out the back. Let herself out, he reminded himself, the way a friend would. Friends. They hadn't made a date. She'd invited him and his kids and his dog to dinner. Just because the kids couldn't make it didn't equal date. And the sad part? He wasn't sure he remembered how to date anymore anyway. So, good thing it wasn't. And since it wasn't, he called himself a moron as he pulled up at the big house on Friday night. He'd actually obsessed about what to wear, which was just embarrassing. He'd settled on jeans, always safe. Then, because he caught himself debating whether to go tucked or untucked on his shirt, switched to a light spring sweater. He'd picked up a good bottle of wine, because that's what you did, but stopped himself from stopping by the florist for flowers. Too much. Now, with Jasper all but flinging himself against the door in the back seat, he took one last moment. She's not interested that way, never has been, so knock it off. And you wouldn't know how to handle it if she was, so knock it off.
He opened the door, let Jasper plunge out, then streaked to the front door. Raylan followed more slowly as he answered the phone ringing in his pocket. It was Jonah FaceTiming him.
Jonah. Hey, man, got a minute? I wanted to run this angle by you. Actually, let me get back to you. I'm about to have dinner. Oh, sure. I don't hear the kids. I always hear the kids when you're about to have dinner. They're at my mother's. Oh, cool. Well, eat while I run this by you. I think it adds a new punch, but we'd have some dominoes to deal with. I'm not home. I'm having dinner with a friend. Dinner with a friend? What friend? Wait a minute. You shaved. You've got a date. No. No date. Hey, that's Jasper. Why is he whining like that?
Hold on. You've got a date with Flame, the one with the dog Jasper's hot on. Holy shit!
It's not a date.
Shut up. It's the smoking hot workout queen, right? Is she there yet? Are you cooking? No. You said you weren't home, but you've got the dog. Her place. She's cooking. Ooh la la.
Remind me next time I see you to kick you in the balls.
Sure, sure. Hey, text me later. I want to hear all about...
Raylan hung up. It occurred to him the conversation he'd just had could have been replicated by a couple of hormonal teenage boys. For some reason, that settled him down. He let the big knocker bang against the door. She wore jeans, so good decision, and a pale yellow shirt over a skinny white tank. She'd bundled that fabulous hair back and up.
Right on time, she said, as Jasper made a beeline for Sadie.
Perfect choice. She took the wine. This is going to go well with tonight's menu. Let's go back and have some now. She had music on. Dom had always had music on, too. Low, just a murmur in the background. And the thing that struck him as the same? The scents.
Whatever the menu is, it smells amazing.
It does, so I'm hoping it tastes that way. Poppy left me his secret red sauce recipe in his will. A sealed envelope. She grinned at him as she handily uncorked the wine. I mean sealed as in with sealing wax. I'm to memorize the recipe, then once again put it into a sealed envelope and in a safe place. I'm to pass it on to my children when and if they've earned it. She got out wine glasses. I know your mother has it. That was his level of trust there.
Deserved. She's never revealed it, and she never made Rizzo's sauce at home.
Tonight, I did. We're having lasagna, which I've never made solo. If it's not as good as it smells, lie. She poured the wine. Thanks for coming, she added. This is a real test drive for me. Cooking on my own, having someone else eat it, figuring out how to open up this part of life again. He took the wine she offered, tapped the glass to hers.
Here's to successful test drives.
Salute. Why don't you sit down? We can have the antipasto here before we take the main course in the dining room.
A serious meal.
An Italian meal. She got out the long, narrow platter, transferred some of the pepperoncini, cherry tomatoes, chickpeas, olives, and the rest, marinated in her grandmother's signature vinaigrette, to small plates. The start and finish? I'm confident, as Nonna taught me. You must cook some with two kids around.
We can't live on Rizzo's takeout much as they'd like to. The grill and the wok are standbys, but I can actually roast a pretty good chicken. Plus, you didn't grow up with my mother and not learn to cook.
I figured that.
If I'm pressed, I'd say don't judge me, but being you, you will. I bust out the chicken fingers and tater tots.
Mimi would make those now and then when my mother was out of town. Our secret. And I don't judge. She ate some provolone. I educate. My mother judges, but she's trying to ease up on that.
Is that so?
We're, you could say, taking a test drive. Poppy's death really hit her hard. So she's reevaluated. Even before that, she sent me a text on New Year's Eve just after midnight to wish me a happy new year. She'd never done that before. And she's going along without much pushback on the high school theme for our new DVD.
I've been hearing about that. Lots of buzz around the creek.
I'm pretty buzzed myself. I love the idea of the two-generation theme. Two and a half, she corrected, as I'm a long way out of high school.
Are you using athletes? This is terrific, by the way.
Thanks. We've got a cheerleader, a football linebacker, a gym teacher, the football coach, so the athletes are represented. We also have science geeks, math nerds, thespians, a student who got a full ride to Virginia Tech. She smiled over her wine. It's diverse in every way. Sex, age, race, in shape, not so much in shape. Putting together a good program that spans that's been a challenge.
Bet you loved it.
Bet I did. My mother's coming back in a few weeks so we can have rehearsals, make sure it all works, time it out with the full cast. Then the crew comes in, we set up, and we shoot over a weekend. 2 long days with an after-school backup for a 3rd if needed. Ready for the big test?
If I have to smell it without eating it much longer, it could get ugly.
Fingers crossed. Why don't you put the dogs out back, light the candles on the table? I'll get the rest.
Easier than he'd thought, he admitted when he let the dogs out. She was, always had been, easy to talk to be around. And if you couldn't relax in that house, you had issues. She brought out the lasagna, soft, fat breadsticks, a Rizzo's staple, and a dish of roasted cherry tomatoes in oil and herbs.
I'm going to plate it if that's okay with you.
Don't be stingy.
May you not regret that.
She plated generous squares of lasagna with the sides, while Raylan topped off the wine. She sat, took up the first forkful.
Here goes.
They sampled the first bite together. Adrian's smile spread slowly before she added an eyebrow wiggle.
The Rizzo legacy lives on,
Raylan said as he took another bite.
Whew, I'm never going to be the passionate and consistent cook my grandparents were, but it feels good knowing I haven't let them down. Now that my performance anxiety's over, I should tell you I read your book. Twice.
I'm too busy eating to have my own performance anxiety.
Good, because you'd waste it, and now you can save it for a more appropriate time. I admit to personal distraction on the first read. Seeing myself on the page, in the story, that was weird and wonderful. The second read, it wasn't me, it was her. But I still felt her struggle. She's so tormented. Her attraction and repulsion for Grievous, her admiration and her envy of True Angel. Picking up her wine, she gestured with it before she sipped. And even though I'd read it and I knew that moment in the underground under the nightclub, under Styx, where Angel's wounded, defenseless, and Grievous is pushing Flame to finish Angel off, to light the spark that will destroy the city, it's a heart thumper. Kill True Angel, deliver her soul to Grievous, and she'll be free of him. Damned to the dark, but she understands the dark. So when she turns her power, her fire on Grievous to save Angel, to save people who fear and loathe her, it's thrilling.
I'm starting to wonder how my ego survived without you.
I'm not shining you on. It could have gone the other way because Flame's a little bit crazy. She runs on emotion and Angel's everything she's convinced herself she can't be, so envies darkly.
She speared up a tomato.
Destroying True Angel would have given her everything she thought she wanted, thought she deserved.
Cutting herself off from the human part of herself, finally and completely.
And instead, she chose the human. Do your kids get a kick out of what Daddy does?
Mostly, it's just what I do. And Bradley continues his obsession with Batman.
Amused, Adrian sipped some wine.
I'm sure it's a phase.
When we dyed eggs for Easter, he drew a Batman cowl on one. Pretty good cowl. I live with it and cover for him when I can with my partner Jonah, who takes it personally.
Do you miss it?
She wondered.
Being right there with the people you work with?
Some of it, yeah. There's a vibe, an energy, and you lose some of that with teleconferencing. I probably get more uninterrupted work done this way, but you gotta miss the daily bull sessions. Do you miss New York?
I thought I would, but I really don't. Most of my work I do alone anyway. Now, having Tisha and Monroe right here, that's huge for me, but work-wise, mine's not collaborative like yours, at least not until it's heading into the final stages.
Monroe.
Raylan dipped the last of a breadstick in the little dish of oil.
I had no idea when we moved in next door that he'd written about 10% of the songs on my playlist.
He's an understated guy.
Yeah, he's that. Sometimes he sits out in the yard, plays the guitar or the keyboard, or the sax. I asked him once why he didn't perform his own songs.
He said, I like the quiet.
Exactly. Adrian, this was an amazing meal. Seriously amazing.
Not done yet. We have Zabaglione. I'm confident going there because my Nonna taught me her secret years ago. I'll just clear. Cappuccino?
Sure. I'll give you a hand.
They both rose, gathered dishes.
Oh, I saw Maya today,
Adrian began as they carried dishes to the kitchen. She'd just gotten back from her weekly checkup, and all's well there.
I heard that. Mom's going a little crazy about having a girl. Joe's happy about it. Colin, not so much, and has confided to me he thinks they're making a big mistake because girls are dopey.
And your response?
I expressed some sympathy to establish a foundation of trust, then crossed the streams in many universes to point out non-dopey girls. Pink Power Ranger, Wonder Woman, Princess Leia, Storm, Violet Queen, his mother, his Nana. I didn't mention his cousin because right now Mariah epitomizes his definition of dopey.
Wise. She turned toward the cappuccino machine as he stepped up to set down dishes and bumped straight into him. She looked up. Green eyes. Why did he have to have green eyes? She leaned in to him, to that yearning, and catching herself, jerked back.
I'm sorry. God, Raylan, I'm so sorry. That was just...
He closed a hand lightly around her arm to hold her in place.
Do you have to be?
Chapter 19. She couldn't line up her thoughts. She couldn't find a coherent one to start the line.
It's just that I didn't mean to... I didn't set this up to... set you up to... Oh, well.
Let's see if we're both sorry or not.
It would change things. Big moments changed things. So he took his time drawing her in, took more drawing her up just a little before he closed the rest of the distance, closed his mouth over hers. Slow, soft, sweet. Just a taste, a test either could pull away from without damaging a long, important friendship. Drawn to the slow, the soft, the sweet, she again leaned in. Like a key turned in a lock. She felt the click that had eluded her for so long and let herself sink into the kiss, into the moment. It changed things. She laid a hand on his cheek, then slid her fingers up and through his hair and changed things. Did he deepen the kiss, or did she? She didn't know, only knew everything inside her wanted more. He eased back, his eyes still on hers.
Sorry?
No. No, not even a little.
Me either.
This time she linked her arms around his neck, and the hum in her body sounded in her throat as he gripped her hips.
The smart thing, she managed before she kissed him again. The smart thing would be to give this a few days.
Would it, though?
He brought his hands up her sides, down again.
Would it really?
Or we could just go upstairs now. Save time.
Time management's underrated. I vote for that.
She took his hand, took a breath. They walked out of the kitchen together.
I wasn't expecting the evening to end this way, she began.
Another me either. But I've thought about it.
She paused at the base of the stairs.
Really?
Let's keep moving. Less risk, you'll change your mind.
The flutter low in her belly moved up to her chest.
Not gonna happen.
Here's the thing. I haven't been with anyone since Laurelee, so I'm rusty.
I've been in a long dry spell myself. We'll refresh each other's memory.
She turned into her bedroom where, as always, she'd left the pretty lamp by the window on low. Then she turned into him. She wanted that warmth, that jumpy, nervous thrill.
I remember this part,
he murmured against her mouth as his hands began to glide. When he started pulling the pins from her hair, she instinctively reached up.
Oh, it's going to be
amazing. There's so much of it.
Combing his fingers through it, he circled her toward the bed.
It's all coming back to me now.
In one smooth move that tripped her heart, he scooped her up, back, and had them on the bed.
Nice one. High score.
Thanks.
He took a moment, studying her face, watching the light and shadows play over it. He'd drawn it countless times, knew every angle of it. And still...
Who'd have thought we'd end up here?
And when he brought his mouth to hers, the time for thinking ended. He'd closed off needs so long and rediscovered the wonder of having them spread and heat through him. Wanting again, being wanted, felt miraculous and gloriously normal. She reached for him. He didn't know if he'd ever be able to explain what it meant to have someone reach for him again. What it meant to have a woman stir those needs awake and offer to meet them. He drew her overshirt off her shoulders, let his hands run over those tough muscles and the contrast of balletically long arms and satin-smooth skin. When he peeled her tank up and off, she arched to help him. Then he skimmed his hands over her breasts lightly, lightly, before he simply laid his head there with her heart drumming under him. She felt so prized. His hands against her skin, nearly reverent, his lips lingering as if the taste of her was vital as breath. She wondered how it could be they fit so well together, so effortlessly together, after all the years of knowing, then taking paths away, taking paths back again. His mouth brought fresh thrills, nearly forgotten thrills that made her body shimmer and her heart swoon. His hands stoked heat, little fires in the blood. More of him. All she knew was she wanted more. She tugged his sweater off, then with humming approval ran her hands over his chest, around his shoulders. When their eyes met in the shadows, she smiled.
Don't look so smug.
You did the work, she pointed out. I just gave you an outline.
Some days I hated you and cursed your name inventively.
Which means we both did a good job.
His eyes, she thought, brushing fingers over his cheek. She'd always been half in love with his eyes.
Raylan,
she murmured, and drew his mouth back to hers. He felt the shift, a turn into urgency. The way her body vibrated under his, the way her hands gripped and stroked and kneaded. And still he struggled to spin it out, slow the pace. Magic wasn't meant to be consumed in a gulp. While they undressed each other, he stopped the rush with a long, sumptuous kiss. When she pressed against him, offering, opening, demanding, he used his hands, and she, so hot, so wet, so soft, to give her that first gasping release. When her body, a wonder of female strength, went weak, he felt like a god. So he took his due, tasting her skin, nipping at pulses that thrummed and drummed, letting his hands roam everywhere, take everything, until he could no longer breathe through the wanting. And when he slipped inside her, slow, 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 it was like the last key in a lock. For a moment, he lowered his forehead to hers, trying to center himself again. But she framed his face with her hands, looked in his eyes so he lost himself in hers. In her. He let himself go, taking now, riding now, while she moved with him, while she wrapped around him. When he crossed that peak, finally, finally, he buried his face in her hair to breathe her in. She lay quiet a long time, winded and dazed as if she'd run a marathon in desert heat and crossed the finish line into a moonlit oasis. And now she sank into the warm, quiet pool where her body might have wept with gratitude had it the energy. Then, with a sigh, she ran a hand down his back.
We definitely remembered.
I'm trying to figure out whether to say thank you or wow. So, wow. Thanks.
He rolled so they lay hip to hip. She smiled to herself because she could swear she could all but hear the wheels turning in his head.
"Couple of things," he said.
"I
want to say I'm not really a one-and-done sort of guy."
Her smile widened. "Really?"
"No, I..."
He heard himself, let out a quick laugh.
"I don't mean like this now. Although, I mean one night and done. I'm going to want to see you again."
Now she rolled so she could look down at him. "I'm good with that. And with the although."
"That's excellent news. We should probably go out, like a date."
"Dating's overrated." Those fascinating green eyes narrowed.
"Now you're trying to vamp me."
"Now that's a term you don't hear every day. And I'm not. Although..." She lowered her head for a casual kiss. "Anyway, sure. Catching a movie, grabbing a meal, and all those traditional social concepts are fine. It's the obligatory we need to go out somewhere on Saturday night that's overrated. If two very busy people want a night out, that's all good. If two very busy people want to stay in and have lots of sex, that's all good."
"You don't even have to try to vamp. I think it's a natural talent."
"Which I will now be compelled to hone to perfection." "You said a couple of things."
"Yeah, I guess I did. The other occurred to me after we proved our memories are plenty sharp. I'd said who'd have thought we'd end up here, but after it struck me that maybe, to be honest, I'd noticed you in something approaching that kind of way a couple of times."
"Is that so?" She tossed her hair out of her eyes and propped herself up on his chest. "Be more precise and spare no detail."
"Not much detail. Just the first summer you stayed in the creek and you and Maya got tight. That was just noticing, not approaching. You were Maya's friend, so beneath notice. Until you talked about my sketches. You knew Iron Man and Spider-Man, so you immediately became more interesting. For a minute, then I had to ignore you because, as Colin can attest, girls are dopey."
"Now, I'll confess that I was so impressed, I tried to draw after that." She frowned a moment, thinking back. "What did I try drawing? Oh, yeah, Black Widow. I wanted to be Black Widow, so I tried drawing her. And I was very frustrated I couldn't." He twirled some of her hair around his finger.
"Natasha or Yelena?"
"Natasha."
"I could teach you to draw."
"I sincerely doubt it." She kissed him again. "And the noticing that approached?"
"The summer after my first year of college. I remember because I was working part-time at Rizzo's, and you came in with Maya and some other girls. I guess you were about 15, maybe? And you looked good. You looked really good. So I had this moment of, before I snapped that back, reminding myself you were Mr. Rizzo's granddaughter and Maya's pal and basically a kid, and I was a college man."
"It was the summer before that for me."
"For you what?"
"Noticing you with approaching. You were out mowing the lawn at your mom's and you had your shirt off. You were all sweaty and skinny."
"I wasn't skinny."
"You were always skinny. Now you're lean and lanky, but you were skinny and your hair was sweaty too and sort of curling and all sun-streaked like a surfer's. I got all fluttery inside. Especially since I knew you had green eyes, even though you were wearing sunglasses. I have a weakness for green eyes."
"Filing that one."
"Anyway, I had to remind myself that I was pledged, heart and soul, to Daniel Radcliffe."
"Harry Potter?"
He took her shoulders to lift them both a little.
"You dated Harry Potter?"
"No, I never met him, but I desperately wanted to because he would no doubt fall in love with me and we'd live happily ever after. And I apparently have a thing for nerds."
"Also filed."
"In addition, Peter Parker is on my list, and I'd be a love slave in a hot minute for Tom Holland."
"The things you learn while naked."
"True." She gave his left biceps a squeeze. "How much are you curling now?"
"Don't start."
"It's ingrained. I need to design a new program for you.
I joined you and your mother's online deal. I have all the damn programs.
Well, good for you.
It's probably seeing you most days in those tight little outfits that got me here.
Unknowing vamping. She cocked her eyebrows. Most days?
I switch around. I've started lifting with Hugo the Hammer. He's terrifying.
Sweetest guy in the world.
Next thing you'll tell me is that other guy, what's his name, with the diamond-cut six-pack and man bun, is a pussycat.
You must mean Vince Harris. And no, he's mean as a snake and a diva on top of it. But he's good at what he does. Try Margot Mayfield's Give Me 20 sometime. She'll take you to the mat, in a good way. She kissed his pecs. And all that talk about working out's made me hungry. How about dessert?
Okay.
He rolled over on top of her. Not the dessert I meant. Laughing, she wrapped him in. Although... He stayed, which surprised them both and delighted the dogs, who slept together in Sadie's bed. It surprised Adrian, too, when Raylan rolled out of bed when she did.
I'll let the dogs out, she told him. You can catch some more sleep.
I'm up. Habit. Kids.
He reached for his pants.
At their age, weekends mean nothing to their body clocks.
What time are you picking them up?
We said around 10.
Great. Plenty of time. We'll work out, then we'll have breakfast.
I don't have any gym gear.
She grabbed his shirt, threw it on. I can fix you up. Come on, Sadie, Jasper.
Wait. No.
He experienced deep and sincere panic.
I'm not wearing any of those skinny pants things.
I can fix you up, she called back and kept going. Spare toothbrush in the bathroom closet.
Jesus, why can't we just have sex again? He muttered. That's a workout.
But he went into her bathroom, found the toothbrush, and caught a look at himself in the mirror. He looked like a man who'd had sex. A lot of really good sex. His mother would know. Just like she'd known the first time he'd had sex, with Ella Sinclair in his junior year of high school. She'd only asked him if he'd used protection, he remembered, which, duh, but it had been mortifying. He'd better get that look off his face or she'd spot it. And that was just weird. By the time he came out, Adrian had pulled on one of her outfits, little snug black shorts, a sports bra thing with black and white checks. While they looked exceptional on her, he wasn't going to wear snug black shorts. Ever.
How about I sign in blood I'll work out when I get home?
Saying nothing, she held up a pair of what he considered normal gym shorts, baggy, more or less knee length, and a new gen t-shirt. You're about the same size as Poppy was. I haven't gone through all his things yet. I keep meaning to.
No way out now, he thought.
Those'll work. I can help you with that if you want. I know it's hard.
It is. Thanks, but let me see if I can get going on it this weekend. I keep telling myself I should move into the master. There's a good feeling in there, and the terrace, and the views. I'm going to get started on that. He pulled on the shorts, adjusted the drawstring. Not that he was skinny, he reminded himself. Lanky. He'd take lanky. Resigned, he walked down with her. Did you lift yesterday? Upper body work?
No.
Good, neither did I. Today's the day. When they reached her studio, she set her hands on her hips. Do you want a program or personal training?
You're going to kill me. I can already feel it.
Personal training it is. She picked up a remote, turned on some music, smiled. Let's warm up. He knew she excelled at training. He'd streamed her workouts for months now. But it took on a different aspect when she focused one-on-one. She adjusted his stance and, in her cheerful but intense way, pushed him more, he could admit, than he pushed himself. When he reached for his habitual 20-pound weights, she shook her head and handed him 25s. Challenge yourself. If you start to lose your form, you go lighter. Now it's squat, hammer curl, Squat, shoulder press, she demonstrated. Your whole body's engaged. Got it?
Yeah.
She talked him through it. Her energy never seemed to flag. Squeeze, breathe, chest up, butt back. When he broke a sweat, he didn't want to give her the satisfaction of saying it felt good. Almost righteous. Especially when she whipped him through cardio, then through a vicious 10-minute core session. Great. Good. Now for the reward. A little yoga to stretch and cool down. Yoga always made him feel awkward and clumsy, but she adjusted him again. Shoulders, hips, nudged him into holding poses longer than he'd have done on his own. You've got good flexibility, Raylan. Maybe, but since she currently had her legs pretty much straight out from her hips, which shouldn't have been possible, and her upper body flat on the floor, he didn't think his split-legged forward fold was anything to write home about. They ended facing each other, sitting cross-legged on their mats. Namaste. Nice work. Let's just do a few shoulder rolls. You work those shoulders with a 2-minute cooldown. He moved fast, had her on her back on her mat.
Don't want to cool down.
He was a little late picking up the kids, and he saw by his mother's raised eyebrows and quick grin, he hadn't managed to wipe the man who's had sex look off his face. 2 weeks later, his sister gave birth to Quinn Marie Abbott. Colin took a long, hard look at the baby cradled in his mother's arms. Then he shrugged, ducked his head to hide the smile that crept over it. He declared,
"Maybe she's not so bad."
Adrian came in with pink flowers, just as a teary Jan offered the baby to Raylan. Moving closer for a peek, she heard him whisper,
"Candy. Count on me for it."
And seeing how he stroked one of his long fingers down that sweet, downy cheek, she worried she'd fallen a little bit in love. Kentucky. Spring road trips. What could be finer? Sweet breezes, flowers blooming, horses in pastures chowing down on that bluegrass. Lots to see, lots to do. Boost a crappy little Honda pickup in Indiana, go Hoosiers, switch the plates, and cruise on down to Louisville. That's Louisville for the local yokels. Derby was coming up soon, and there'd be madness in the air. Smelled good. Madness always did. And in those pretty tree-lined burbs outside the city, the Target lived. The whore passing as a devoted mother of two, dedicated nurse, and faithful wife. A life of lies about to end. Watching her for a handful of days, an easy pleasure. Ending her, sweet and simple. The idea of beating her to death had to be adjusted once the best opportunity presented. Not enough time, not enough privacy. Too bad, as that method offered such a deep, dark, and personal thrill. But with the stolen truck parked in the lot of a 24/7 supermarket a half mile away, walking into the employee lot of the hospital at 1 a.m. proved uneventful. A short wait, really, and she came trudging along in her rubber-soled shoes. Then it was just a matter of springing out, boo, slicing her throat. Boy, the blood just flew. Splat, splat, glug, glug. Grab her keys, her purse, roll her under the next car. She had a nice late-model Subaru. Since nobody would find her, probably for a couple hours at least, and since switching the plates wouldn't take long, it was perfect for the next leg of that spring road trip. Turn up the music. Roll down the windows. Pop a pill to keep body and soul together on the drive. The Subaru would take them 100 miles away or more before anybody so much as missed her. Having friends as house guests always delighted Adrian. She'd have Hector and Lauren for a full week, and her mother, who didn't really qualify as a guest in the technical sense. Add Harry and Mimi, and it was like a mini reunion. Hector's fiance would take the train down for the weekend, as would Harry's husband once they finished juggling their kids' schedules. Even with the rest of the crew for the production staying at a local inn, she'd have a houseful. And that suited her. While she rated her culinary skills above average, in the blood after all, she arranged for Rizzo's to provide the welcoming meal and the craft services for the shoot. The week before their arrival, she tackled her grandparents' bedroom. She found it wasn't as wrenching as she'd expected. She caught herself smiling as she came across one of Dom's favorite sweaters, or the ancient, battered slippers he'd refused to give up. His hairbrush. He'd been vain, justifiably so, she thought, about his full head of hair. She set it aside as a keepsake and left his favored green cardigan in the closet. She could, when she needed, wrap herself in it. He'd kept a bottle of her grandmother's perfume, so she set it aside along with his aftershave. Little things. Little memories. Little comforts. She boxed, tubbed, separated out pieces she thought someone might especially want, then carried everything out to her car before she hauled out cleaning supplies. The cleaning crew would deal with the rest of the house, but she needed to do this herself, to show respect, affection, gratitude to the two people who'd spent so many nights there. She opened the porch doors to the spring air, and Sadie wandered out to curl up in the sunlight. She'd put this off, she mused as she scrubbed, polished, vacuumed, telling herself the room was too big for just her. But the truth was, she loved it, had always loved the big, generous space, the coffered ceiling with its creamy squares against bright white, the gleam of the hardwood floors, even the restful and soft blue-gray on the walls. Feeling sentimental, she put the bottles of scent, his and hers, on the mantel over the fireplace, added a trio of her grandmother's copper candle stands. She changed the linens on the big bed with its high and thick turned posts, spread on her white duvet, added a mountain of pillows, a throw at the foot. She took her time making it her own, her pretty bottles and baskets on the open shelves in the ensuite, fresh fluffy towels, more candles. Her clothes in the dressing room area, along with a yoga mat. Sadie's bed in the sitting area. Eventually, she might hire Kayla to take a look, think about changing color schemes, just changing things up. But for now, as she looked around, she saw just enough memories blending with just enough her, just enough new to feel comfortable. So she walked out to the porch, where she could look out over the hills and trees, the gardens, the turns of the creek, and the more distant mountains. They'd given her this, and so she'd treasure it and tend it. Then she sat on the porch floor, hugged her dog. "We're doing all right, aren't we, Sadie? We're going to be just fine." In the morning, she gave the house over to the cleaners and finished planting the flowers she'd chosen in pots for the porches, the patio. She'd already tried her hand, solo, with vegetables and herbs in the back, as her grandparents always had. She had her fingers crossed on that. But now the house was ready, or soon would be, for company, and she still had energy to burn. She went inside to wash up, changed into leggings and a support tank, and got the leash. "Let's go for a run." She started out at a light jog, warm up the muscles, enjoy the movement, and the way spring spread its wings with wild dogwoods and redbuds, the pretty beds freshly mulched, the smell of grass newly mowed. But the thought of the day, the date, weighed on her. She knew it must weigh on Raylan. She made the turn toward his house, and when she passed Tisha's, heard Monroe's music, piano, quick and bright, through windows thrown open to the air, and heard the mower as Raylan paced with it over his front lawn. Not as skinny as her memory of the boy, she thought. Solid muscles in those arms now, as she had good reason to know. Still no hat on that sun-washed hair. And this time, unlike that long-ago time, he saw her. He stopped, switched off the mower. And a moment later, Jasper sent up a plaintive howl from the backyard. I'll just let her back there for a minute, okay?
You'd better before the neighbors call the cops.
She let Sadie through the gate for the canine lovers' reunion. When she walked back, Raylan sat on his porch steps, guzzling straight from a bottle of Gatorade. She sat beside him, unclipped her water bottle. Saturday chore on a Monday?
Couldn't concentrate on the work, so figured time for physical.
Me too. Yesterday and today. Hard couple of days for both of us.
Yeah.
He laid a hand over hers, joined understanding.
3 years for you yesterday, for me today. I got this bush, a mountain laurel. I'm going to plant it with the kids after school.
That sounds like exactly the right thing. Funny, I planted flowers today in these wonderful Italian pots Nonna loved. And yesterday, she let out a long breath, I moved into the master. And that felt right.
Time helps, he said,
when she turned her hand under his to link fingers.
Laura Lee loved visiting the creek, but it wasn't home for her. She had such a crap childhood, foster homes, in and out, never really having a home of her own.
She told me a little about that, in the letters she wrote, Adrian explained when he looked over.
She never talked much about that, not to most people.
Writing letters, real letters, is different. There's this odd intimacy. She told me she never felt she had a real home until you bought the house in Brooklyn.
She fell in love. Forever home, she called it.
Adrian let the silence hang a moment. But you'll plant the mountain laurel for her, here in the creek. And that matters.
Feels like it.
He shifted to look at her.
And you're going to have a house full of people later, and a busy week.
I'm ready for it. Most of the gang should be here by about 3, and we'll go do a run-through at the school. Back home for dinner and discussion.
Yeah, Monroe and I are doing the He-Men with kids grilling burgers while that goes on.
We can make room for all of you.
Thanks, but school night.
He took another swig of Gatorade.
Being the adult, I have to say that. Even mean it. Which often blows. With luck, the short people will be in bed before you guys finish the main course.
We'll plan a dinner on a non-school night. Or a Sunday dinner, more special. And we can eat early enough to meet school night rules.
At his long look, she shrugged.
What? I like your kids. I like kids.
I know it. People think you can fake that, liking kids in general, or specific kids. You can't.
We could plan it a week from Sunday, if that works. This weekend...
Gym class, he finished.
How about we have our Friday night, then a Sunday dinner with the kids?
I believe that aligns with our social calendar.
Friday nights with Adrian had become a habit. Sharing a meal, sharing her bed.
Don't cook for Friday. I'll pick up dinner.
I'll take it. I've got to get back. When she rose, he rose with her, still holding her hand, and taking the other, leaned in to kiss her.
Thanks for coming by, helping make a hard couple of days a little easier.
For me too. She gave his hands a squeeze, then walked around to the gate to call Sadie. As he went back to the lawnmower, he heard Jasper's pitiful whine and Adrian's laughing promise to bring his girlfriend back soon. He watched her set off in a smooth run, hair flying, legs flashing. He thought of the mountain laurel he'd plant with his kids, of the memories that would root in that, the life that would bloom from it. And he thought, as Monroe's bright music danced in the air, of the memories and the life yet to come.
Chapter 20.
The cab, a rare sighting around Traveler's Creek, pulled up to the house. The unfamiliar sight had Sadie giving one warning woof.
It's okay.
Adrian put a hand on Sadie's head as she looked out the window.
Oh, it's more than okay. It's Mimi. Happy,
Adrian added, and had Sadie wagging her tail. She raced out to wrap Mimi in a hug.
You're here, in a cab. Oh, it's so good you're here. My Mimi.
Minor change of plans. Mimi kissed both her cheeks. She took the rolling overnight bag from the driver, thanked him.
Is that all you have? For a week?
Oh, tell me you're staying for the week.
I am.
Your mom and Harry have my suitcase as they're driving, and I decided to take the train because they took an interview in D.C. They'll be here within the hour, but I didn't want to leave that early or make the detour.
Come in, come inside. I'm going to get you a glass of wine.
It's not even four. Travel days don't count. Just leave your bag by the steps. We'll worry about it later.
Happy,
Adrian said again, and had Sadie wagging and leaning on Mimi's legs.
Is she bigger?
Mimi asked, accepting the paw Sadie offered.
I swear she's bigger.
Maybe a little.
Oh, you look so good,
Adrian said as she pulled her through the house to the kitchen.
I slept on the train. I did not work. I read a book until I fell asleep, and it was great.
She did look good, Adrian thought, relaxed in her jeans and bold red shirt, her hair a marvelous wedge of curls.
Sit, take it easy.
I've been sitting, my baby. My butt knows it.
Then we'll take this wine. Walk outside. How's Isaac? How are the kids?
Everyone's good. And so is this wine. Natalie landed a summer internship in Rome.
What? When? Wow!
It just came yesterday. She's out of her mind happy. God, I'm going to miss her, but...
Laughing, Mimi lifted her glass high.
It's so wonderful for her.
It's amazing. She'll be amazing.
My son, the pre-med student, and now my girl, summering in Rome to work in international finance. I don't know what either of them are talking about half the time now, but I'm so proud of both of them.
It doesn't show a bit.
Mimi wrapped an arm around Adrian's waist, tugged her in for a side hug. My kids, all three of them, keep growing up. Look what you've done with this garden. You've got gorgeous flowers going. Tomatoes?
Tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, carrots, squash, zucchini, herbs, and more herbs.
After pushing up her sunglasses, Mimi scanned the rows.
It's practically a farm.
City girl, this is a backyard vegetable garden.
Same thing to me.
You did this? Just you?
And so far, so good. I wanted to try. Nana and Poppy planted every year. I'm going to try to hold up that tradition. It's relaxing, and I've got plenty of time when I'm not actively working.
Which is almost always.
Half a day, generally, when I'm not pre, post, or in production.
With considerable pride, she studied the young plants.
I've got a rhythm going, and I like it. I cut out the travel when I moved here for Poppy, and it didn't take me long to realize I liked not being on the road. I can appreciate what Monroe says when people wonder why he writes exclusively and doesn't perform. I like the quiet, too.
You never liked the travel.
Not really.
No,
Adrian admitted. Not really.
Lena thrives on it. And before she gets here, I'm going to ask you for an honest answer. I know her perspective, but I want yours. And it's between us. How are things between you and your mother?
I hope her perspective is they're better, because they are. We understand each other better, and she does better with adults.
You were the mom of my childhood.
Oh, sweetie.
She loved you always, Adrian.
I get that more now, too.
Adrian picked up the ball Sadie dropped at her feet, threw it high and long. The fact she agreed without much adjustment to this production, using the high school, that's a big gift for her, and I appreciate it.
She's nervous about it.
What? Adrian started to laugh, then saw Mimi's face.
Seriously? Lena Rizzo, nervous?
Yes, Lena Rizzo, nervous, about going back to her high school, and the fact that two of the teachers know her from back then. One of them she even dated a couple times.
You're kidding! How did I not know this?
I guess she didn't mention it. Nothing serious, she tells me, because she ended up going with this football farmer guy.
A football farmer? Mom?
Farm boy who played football? That apparently was serious while it lasted. Fascinating, Adrian thought. The things you learned when mother figures finally considered you an adult. Just fascinating. She never talks about back then with me.
Do you talk to her about the boys, the men you've dated?
Absolutely not.
She threw the ball again. You said happy to Sadie.
You look happy, Adrian.
I am. I've got my work, my home. I planted a garden. I have great friends, an amazing dog. That's happy. And I don't want to spoil that, but have you heard from the investigator? She's following a lead in Pittsburgh, or was a few days ago. It doesn't spoil it. I feel like putting it in her hands took it out of mine. Sadie ran back, woofed again.
She hears a car. Must be Harry and Mom, though I expect everybody soon.
And here we are drinking wine before 4. With a laugh, Mimi draped an arm around her waist.
We'd better get more glasses.
On Friday evening, Adrian stood in the high school gym with her mother, her friends, the crew. Hector and his assistant huddled over cameras, the placement of the stationery, the potential movements of the two portables. The lighting director worked with his gaffers and grips to set up light stands, run cables, decide on gels and filters.
It's a good space, Adrian said to her mother.
I suppose it is.
Memories?
Lena shrugged.
I didn't play basketball or have much interest in it. But I'm told they held their dances here, too.
Yeah. A ghost of a smile flitted over Lena's face. With live bands. Very old time. Let's go over wardrobe.
Girls' locker room for us.
When they went back, Lena looked around. At least they updated some in the last decades. And it doesn't smell like sweat, wet, and Love's Baby Soft. Popular 80s perfume, she said at Adrian's blank look.
Which you didn't use.
No, I didn't. How would you know?
Because you were never going to be one of the crowd.
You stood out, made sure of it. That's not a dig.
I don't take it as one.
Yours?
Adrian gestured to the rack wardrobe had already set up.
Mine. Like we discussed, we'll coordinate or complement colors in each segment. They'll set up the cast's wardrobe, girls in here, boys in the other locker room. Females in leggings or capris. We've got everyone's sizes.
She wagged her hand as her mother looked over the choices.
Boys, gym shorts or sweatpants. Boys and girls include teachers. Girls, sports bras and a choice of tank or tee. Boys, tank or tee. The tanks, tees, will have either the Yoga Baby or New Gen logo. I thought we could mix that up. We have socks, athletic shoes, sweatbands, water bottles, samples of our Energy Up drink. Logoed. The cast can keep what they use, and we'll do the hoodie with cast member's last name in addition. Harry's idea.
He's always thinking.
Intro and cardio first, Lena considered. So why don't we go with the red? Scarlet tank, black leggings with the blaze up the side for me. I'll tag the red bra, black tank, and the red and black capris.
When she had, she glanced over.
Strength training next.
You choose. Changes, Adrian thought as she considered her choices. Changes could happen, and little tears in relationships could mend. Very bright and very early on Saturday morning, Adrian sat in the bleachers going through the script one last time, while Tisha sat beside her talking to Monroe on her phone.
Yeah, it looks like we'll get started pretty close to on time. Adrian and her mom already wrapped up the main intro. If you bring them in, say, in an hour, I'll nurse Thad during the break, and Finn can ask the crew his 10 million questions. You're a stand-up guy, Monroe. I'll see you in about an hour.
She pocketed the phone. So your mother's half flirting with that teacher dude. Surprised, Adrian looked up to see her mother across the gym with a man with gray-streaked brown hair, horn-rimmed glasses. Both of them were in wardrobe and did appear to be half flirting.
That's the guy she dated a couple of times in high school.
Okay. Why are you whispering?
I don't know. I've never seen her even half flirt before. It's really strange.
Maybe she'll grab a little touch while she's in town.
Ew, really? And he's married with kids. Grandkids, too. He told me.
Probably why it's only half a flirt. A nostalgia flirt. On the other hand, Lauren is all the way flirting with that pretty hot teacher.
Adrian shifted her gaze to under the far basketball hoop, where Lauren definitely flirted with the ponytailed blonde.
She's not married, no kids. Allison, or Allie, 27, biology teacher who works out 5 days a week and loves yoga.
You've got them all memorized?
I don't have your mind for data or odd trivia, but names and faces? An essential part of the production.
She saw a production assistant herding out the boys and the rest of the male teachers. The noise level rose immediately.
You're right. We're going to get started on time.
She gave Tisha's leg a pat, handed her the script. She started down the bleachers as the girls came out and headed to Hector while he checked the tripod camera again.
Ready for this? She asked him.
You got it.
He looked in the camera as assistants lined up the cast on their marks for the segment.
Looks good.
She studied the monitor.
And just what I was after.
We'll give them a little pep talk, some reminders, then we can intro the segment and dive right in.
She caught her mother's eye and they walked to the center of the gym.
Your idea, Lena whispered. You take it.
All right. Okay, everybody.
Adrian held up her hands until the voices, the giggles, the nervous barks of laughter died away.
Lena and I want to thank you again for being part of this. We're going to work you hard over the next couple of days.
She grinned over the groans.
And you're going to have fun with it. Or else. First reminder.
When you say left, you mean right,
one of the boys called out.
That's correct. The camera reverses. If you mess it up, just keep going. If you need to slow it down, even stop, do that, but don't be lazy. Mandy's the modifier in the first segment, so you can always follow her and modify. The water bottles are labeled with your names. Use your own bottle.
She looked to her mother to finish up.
Hector and Charlene will roam around with the cameras. If you want to look into the camera, that's fine, but keep moving. Adrian and I will also move around now and then, adjust your form, push you a little harder, or suggest you ease back. We'll take a 1 minute, that's 1 minute, water break at the halfway point. After the cool down, we break so you can towel off, change, and regroup. Any questions?
When those died down, Adrian and Lena took their marks, faced the camera.
Remember to breathe, everybody,
Adrian said, and waited for Hector's signal.
This is Fitness 101 Cardio, Lena began. Get ready to work it and sweat it.
And these are students and teachers from my mother's alma mater, Travelers Creek High. They're motivated,
she glanced back.
Are you motivated?
She got yes, but put her hand to her ear.
I can't hear you. Are you motivated?
This time they roared. She turned back to the camera.
Then let's warm it up.
40 minutes later, Lena grabbed her water bottle.
That was good. It really was. I want to see the playback, but
it was damn good.